Today's March 27th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $87,148.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just hanging out, kind of watching Bitcoin go up just a touch.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really made any gains one way or the other, but, you know, it's generally up. So.
Well, and one thing that I'm looking at right now, it's doing one of those little coil patterns. Just, and I mean, it's on a short time frame, but it looks like starting from actually from Monday. So actually it's not that short of a time frame. So Monday, like we're in that coiling pattern where it looks like it's tightening. So more than likely we should be getting a move probably tonight. We may see a movement. I don't know which way it'll go. Could go up, could go down. I'm guessing that it may probably go up. We brought up the flow chart from Farside. And where we had the bloodbath before, it looks like some of that's kind of trailing off now because this goes from the 10th to the 27th. And it looks like we have, I mean, they're not huge numbers. They're not bad numbers, but they're in the black.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, there's some trails off from the 10th, the 11th, and then the 13th. But since then, overall totals have been positive on the ETF flow side. So people are buying. How are we doing on our theoreticals?
Yeah, theoretical purchase number one back in October 2023. If you would have put $3,000 into Bitcoin, you would have got 0.0885 Bitcoin. And right now, that $3,000 investment is worth $7,713. So still doing good. Yeah. I mean, more than double. The second theoretical purchase. We're almost coming to a year on it. Back in April 19th, 2024 at the halving, if you put $1,000 down, you would have ended up with 0.01564 Bitcoin. And that amount of Bitcoin today is worth $1,363. So, I mean, $360 gains, not too bad. But yeah.
That still blows my mind that that was almost a year ago.
Yeah. Well, it was an April, and we're rounding the corner on March. I mean, it's almost gone.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. This is the first quarter of 2025 closing out on Monday. And it looks, I mean, unless something crazy happens in the next few days, we're going to have a red quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Bitcoin. And I don't think we'll get, I think so. One nice thing about that for looking at the long term is that I do still believe we're in a bull market. I think there's the macroeconomic conditions with Trump and his chaos that he's been causing. I think that's affecting everything, except for obviously gold's doing okay with
it. Well, that's affecting gold too. It's just, it goes in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Which, I mean, eventually we want to see Bitcoin doing the same thing. And we have seen that to some extent, but Bitcoin is still very much looked at as a risk on asset, right? So I think, yep.
Well, and there's a lot of risks in Bitcoin right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, it's safer than it's ever been.
I'm saying, well, network wise, it's safer than it's ever been. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's gone down into the 70s and it's bounced soft, you know, both times. It's not really gone deep into the 70s, like 77 is the low that it's seen.
Yeah.
In the, you know, since the election. And, I mean, that shows some resilience. And the thing is Bitcoin could also rip in the other direction and just double in price out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, they keep on saying that the exchanges are keep on hitting lower lows as to Bitcoin, like on exchanges, than what it's seen previously, like ever before. So I have no numbers to back that up. So that's just hearsay at this point. I didn't pull that up to actually research it before we got going today, but some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about today with you was, so we got GDP for Q4 for 2024, And it looks like Q3 was at 3.1% and Q4 came in at 2.4%. I believe the analysts were expecting it to be like a 2.1, so it was above the expectations, which, I mean, 2.4 is not great, but it's not awful.
I mean, it's better than negative 2.4.
Yeah. And I think if it was, if it was much higher GDP for, you know, fourth quarter, I think there would have been fears from the Fed about inflation. Like if it was crazy high, but it wasn't. So, I mean, I guess we did okay with our holiday season, even though people probably went way broker than they should have.
Max that credit out, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And then we had jobless numbers that came in, and they came in down slightly from the previous week. So, I mean, this is a week by week basis, but it was down 224,000 jobs from the previous 225,000. So, again, you know, the labor market's not as bad as what it seems right now. I do expect that'll change once we start getting Doge cuts going in.
Yes, that will definitely affect unemployment, but I would call that type of thing like autophagy.
Yeah.
It'd be healthy.
It'll be healthy.
Maybe lose it, burn some fat, but yeah, it'll be make it healthier.
And it looks like actually we're sitting at 4.1 unemployment, I think, total right now. So it is higher than I think what it was previously. I think it's up increased by a tenth of a percent. So again, it's not, I don't think it's enough for like the Fed to do drastic interest rate cuts or anything like that. But at the same time, it's not spurring them to want to increase interest rates at the same time. So that's like, in my opinion, that's positive news for the money markets. I mean, we still see M2s increasing, but the printers are not considered fully on yet.
No. No, we've been pretty well tightening for at least 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even going on three.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, what was it? It's been probably a couple months ago we talked about China, because China was talking about turning their printers on like full blast, like no restrictions.
Well, that would be a little bit crazy, especially if America's not doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you will devalue your currency quite a bit by doing that. So, I mean, good luck to him, I guess.
Yeah.
Good luck to the Chinese people, at least.
Yeah, their money, I don't know. I don't know what the, I don't know what their purchasing looks like. I don't know what it feels like to be a typical Chinese citizen. I can't comment on that one way or the other. But I wonder if they have the understanding, like what that does when money printers come on, inflation starts kicking in, when they debase the dollar. You know, or the yuan, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Well, I think they kind of try and manipulate their currency based on whatever the dollar value is at. They try and keep it a little bit cheaper so they can keep, you know, a lot of the manufacturing. It's a lot cheaper for them to produce it if their currency is weaker.
It's true. It's very true. And yeah, so they probably, they want to continue to keep that manufacturing cheap there. But I even heard a while back that I think Vietnam was becoming cheaper than China.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of manufacturing is located elsewhere in Asia.
Yeah. So, and then one of the other things that I wanted to bring up tonight also was GameStop. You heard they were taking a play out of Michael Saylor's playbook.
Yeah, actually, it's not all sunshine and rainbows for them, because they're actually closing several stores, aren't they?
Yeah, from what I understand, they were their CapEx, they were actually doing a lot of restrictions. The crazy thing, even with them closing stores, is apparently they were sitting on a bunch of cash, like $5 billion. But they're still taking out a loan to purchase the Bitcoin.
Well, if they can do it right and the timing's good, it'll be the magic money purchase, kind of like Michael Saylor.
Yeah, and I
know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think their timing in this cycle is a little bit late. I mean, it would have been a lot smarter to do that at, you know, 2024, I'm thinking. But, you know, we'll see how long this this bull market lasts. If, I mean, or if it's dead on us, we don't know.
Yeah. I believe if I cross my fingers and my toes that we're still in a bull market. I don't think we're done yet, but I could be wrong.
Well, actually, I misspoke. I believe that their bond market would, like, or their loan, they'd be paying it back in 2030, if I remember correctly. And that's probably not a bad idea, because by then you'll have another bull market cycle to go through.
Well, and
that's, by then we might have a sovereign wealth fund, and it could be worth just so much money by then.
That's true. I mean, 2030 is where a lot of the predictions are coming in, when Bitcoin is expected to be like $1 million a coin. I mean, that's still a little ways off, but apparently they're taking out $1.3 billion through convertible senior notes for purchasing the Bitcoin. They plan to use the proceeds for general corporate purposes, including Bitcoin acquisition, aligning with the investment policy. The notes apparently are going to have a 0% coupon rate, and after a five-year maturity, offering includes the option for underwriters to purchase up to an additional $200 million. So, I mean, it sounds like almost exactly like a play out of MicroStrategy's playbook, you know?
Well, Strategy now.
Yeah.
They changed their name.
Well, at some point, I'll get used to just calling them Strategy.
I know.
Well, it's just like Twitter. Like
post on X.
Yeah. I'm starting to get used to X. And then kind of one of the last things I wanted to talk about, too, was the stable coins. So they just passed what they're calling the Genius Act, or it is called the Genius Act. And basically what they're saying is that it was passed by the Senate Banking Committee, sets a clear rules for dollar-backed stablecoins, requiring issuers to maintain one-to-one reserves in various forms like cash, insured deposits, and U.S. treasuries. So the interesting thing about this, right, though, is that Tether, like when you look at Tether, one of the probably the most popular stablecoin out there, they buy a lot of treasuries. They have a bunch of different assets that back their stablecoin, right?
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that even though we're not going to see a Federal Reserve central bank digital currency, it looks like they're going to use the markets in general to create as many stablecoins, as long as they're backed, like that's going to be the requirement. One-to-one, like whatever the asset is going to be, to kind of build. I think in a way they're hoping to continue to keep the dollar as the reserve money of the world this way.
Yeah.
Because the stable coins will have all the benefits of a blockchain type technology. So you won't have to have a bank account. You can have a cell phone and be able to use dollars anywhere in the world.
It's going to be interesting. Now, the one thing with stable coins that what I understand is, like, part of it's like, you know, they're buying some Bitcoin, but they're also buying like a lot of U.S. treasuries, which is debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see that as a winning strategy, especially, I mean, what are we at debt wise? Like 36, 37 trillion?
Yeah.
38 maybe? I don't know.
It's high. I think it was 37 trillion the other night when I looked at it.
I mean, it's just, if I was going to describe financially what U.S. debt is truly, you know, until Doge kicks in, and if we're able to like cut out, you know, a good chunk of fat, actually at a certain point, we'd have to get down to the bone. If we just had a balanced budget, they'd have to increase the taxes, or they'd have to cut at least $2 trillion in spending. And until that happens, I just look at American debt as toxic sludge.
Yeah.
It's financial death. So I'm not particularly keen on this myself, but that's just me.
No, and I kind of completely agree. So, I mean, it's interesting because part of the reason why we have inflation the way that we do is the euro dollars, which are the dollars that are loaned out in Europe at the same time, right? Like the fractional reserve lending, when you start to look at that, and you have Europe doing their own loans in American dollars, you know, like that's increasing money supply. If these stablecoin manufacturers, I mean, obviously they're going to buy debt to back some of that. And I mean, they may have other assets as well to back whatever they're going to use to do the one-to-one. But yeah, I mean, basically they're driving demand for U.S. debt and spreading dollar dependency around the world. If it's successful. I don't know. It's apparently even Trump's crypto group, whatever it's called. And I want to say it's, I can't remember what World Liberty Financial, I think is the name of his crypto group. Anyways, they're even creating their own stable coin called USD One. And they're going to be raising, $550 million through token sales to start to their stable coin, I guess, which that's kind of weird too. Like, you have a president having his own stable coin that he runs.
Well, say what you will about Trump, he's probably the first American president that's been a successful businessman outside of being a successful politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of our politicians in Washington are very successful at trading, but, you know, they have some type of insider knowledge. And now Trump's kind of maybe a little bit partaking in that, but most of his wealth was at least acquired through the private sector.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, strategic goals of this aims to use stablecoins to bypass traditional banking systems, export American monetary power, and establish a blockchain-based dollar system akin to modern Bretton Woods agreement.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not as familiar with this bill. I've heard you talk about it just now, and just something about it in my bones doesn't feel right. I don't really have any knowledge on it. I just, there's something I don't like about it.
Well, and regardless of how you look at it, like, I mean, even if, say, you do have 10 distributors of these coins, like, it's not going to be easy for anybody to do, right? It's still fairly centralized. And because it is still programmable money, may not be really a technical, it may not be a CBDC issued by the Fed, but it's still programmable.
Well, and it could turn into a CBDC issued by just the government.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm on the fence on that one. I'm glad that there's no CBDC, but I mean, there's so much. We talked about that with XRP, you know, they could even become like a CBDC because it's so centralized. And that's the other question. How many of these folks are going to come up with their own blockchain, or are they going to use like XRP and the XRapid system and all that to actually mint and create their own that way? And then it's really centralized, right?
Right.
So I don't know, man, crazy times. I still don't think, you know, the bull run's over, and I hope, you know, I hope at some point, maybe mid-April, give it a little bit of time, and then once tax season's over, maybe Bitcoin can rip again.
Maybe. Or if, you know, a lot of these tariffs get really implemented on April 2nd or whatever, maybe we'll see quite a bit of fireworks.
Yeah.
It's hard to say which way things are going to go. I mean, I think I'm looking at a lot of different investors and traders and all that stuff, giving their takes on things. And I'm seeing good cases for both sides of this.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't really have a prediction of my own. We'll just see how things go. I'm here for the ride, baby.
Yeah. I'm not selling. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I had news-wise. We'll have to kind of wait and see till some other exciting stuff starts to happen. Once we start hearing more countries, you know, purchasing Bitcoin, and once GameStop actually starts buying, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see what that does to the market. But yeah. Anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
That's it for me.
Cool, man. Well, we hope you all are having a great time this year in 2025. If nothing else, watching all the popcorn show with all the politics, which I'm kind of starting to get sick of myself. But remember, if you want to do your own self-custody, you can get your hardware wallet at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals. We can get your own hardware wallet, and you can also sign up for our newsletter there as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for listening.
Good night.